name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Jared Murillo, better known as Plunder. Yar.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. And, oh, my friend, hey, Jared, listen, I am really excited to be working with you in this new year, second half of the season. I mean, it's so exciting. I mean, you know, my last team, they were all murdered by Savitar and stuff. So, It's great. Yeah, well, you know, these things happen. But since you're here, let's just move forward and we'll just kind of see how it goes, right?
Alrighty, matey.
We got other options. We could make you a hologram and then you could just host like that if something happened to you. So no worries.
But my eternal love of science, my eternal love of science.
No. It's your eternal love of science. You have to shout the science every time. So, you know, Jared starts with a J, and J sounds good and easy to say. So I'm just going to call you J this week. But like I said, I'm very happy to be back with you the second half of the season after what seems like an extremely long break. I guess maybe it wasn't that long.
It was maybe 6 weeks. It's kind of long, but
it's just that time of year when so many things happen, you know, in the holidays that it just it just seems like forever that
I got to tell you, I kind of enjoyed my time off, and I'm like, oh man, we got to start recording again. But then I'm also like, you know, I've been watching other stuff. It's like wow, I don't have to watch something this week. It freed me up. I've been catching up on movies and other TV shows. But you know, I love talking to you about the show. So I am glad to be back.
It was kind of nice to get back into a routine, and it was also. I've been doing the same thing as you, but what I haven't really done is sat down with my family and my daughters and watched a TV series. We've seen some movies, spent some time seeing Rogue One several times, you know, and some other movies over the holidays, but hadn't sat down on the couch and watched anything with them since the last time we watched Flash. So it was nice to have that opportunity again. This show, in addition to being something that I am passionate about because I grew up with it and I've loved it so much. And I get to talk, you know, with my best buddy about it. So that's awesome. It has also been an extremely powerful, this other guy that I talked with about.
Oh.
No, no, I'm kidding. Of course you, but it's been, it's been a really powerful connection between me and my daughters, and I'm really appreciating
awesome.
It for that. So,
I just get excited. Your dad shared the Flash with you. You've talked about how you got comic books, Flash comic books from your dad, and now you have the same kind of influence over your kids.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. So,
in a different way, but, you know, it's sharing your love of something here. I think that's really cool.
Hey, you know what? I as generations change, you are able to share things that you're passionate about or that you grew up with, but you do have to adapt to their generation in a different way. So, I don't mind it a bit. It's fantastic.
Yeah, my dad and I, we just sat down. He introduced me to the new Christy Minstrels, and I got to tell you, I'm not sharing that with my kids, unfortunately. So
that's not something you're going to adapt
and
for.
And if anybody out there knows what the heck I'm talking about, congratulations. That is probably one of the most obscure folk groups that I know. So, all right. We want to talk about the all-new New Christy Minstrels?
That's right. That's so right.
So, going to be so.
Well, why don't you tell us about this week's episode as we start a new half of a season and we'll see where it goes from there.
All right. And yeah, it's weird. It's not quite half a season. We're still on the on the left side of halfway with episode 10 of season 3.
Left side of halfway is the name of my next album, too, by the way. Yeah. the new Christy Minstrels, Left Side of Halfway.
it's going straight to number one.
Yes.
We're assuming there's, I think, 23 episodes this season, so we've still got a couple episodes to halfway. But this one, Borrowing Problems from the Future, originally aired on January 24th of 2017, written by Grainy Godfrey and David Cobb, two regulars from the show, and directed by Millicent Shelton. I believe she has done a couple of the episodes. She might actually have done an episode of Arrow as well, too. That may be where I also recognize the name from. Well, in this week's episode, these nightmares are just getting a little too overwhelming. You know, dreams of a terrible future and no power to stop it. Barry's finally going to have to open up to Iris and tell her,
Barry's having those nightmares too?
Yeah, Barry's.
I can relate. Well,
yeah, I was. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's he going to have to do with these nightmares?
Well, and so he's going to have to tell Iris, you know, what happens in these nightmares. You know, 5 months from now in May. You know, when all the really terrible stuff happens every year. Maybe the team's help, you know, they can change the future. Barry's really struggling with the whole idea, and he thinks that maybe keeping Wally at spinning arms length may help him change Iris's destiny. That's why he doesn't want Kid Flash to catch Plunder, a brooding, patch-wearing, motorcycle-riding jewel thief with a badass futuristic gun, which, by the way, is the same description I use on my theater resume.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It fits.
Thank you. Luckily, the team is there to give him advice about what path to take, thanks to HR's dominoes and his determination to open up the Star Labs Museum to the hopefully paying public. Well, that and Cisco vibes him back to the future to look for important clues about how to stop Iris from getting a new piercing from Savitar. But Barry's tension may be putting everyone on edge, especially Caitlin, who is now very much worried that her new metahuman Fitbit bracelet is going to fail at keeping her powers at bay. So she enlists the help of the ever altruistic Julian. The sarcasm brought to you by CC Jitters Espresso.
Oh, yeah. I picked up on that a little bit.
This is a future that only a love of science can help save. Please consider donating to your local science center to help inspire the children. So once they determine if they can actually rewrite history, they can finally have that housewarming party at Barry and Iris's new apartment/loft.
That's right.
So there you go.
I'll come back to that loft thing in a minute.
High ideals.
So, you know, I'm going to come straight out of the gate. I'm just going to say it at the top of the show because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. I'm excited to speculate with you and talk about some of these potential future plot points that we're going to be experiencing here in the next several months. I was a little underwhelmed at our mid-series premiere.
We seem to be in sync more often than you would think on some of these. I was just saying the other day that I thought Arrow returning this week was actually a stronger episode than Flash. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to me on Green Justice, our Arrow podcast, that's kind of surprising for me to say. But on second watching, this episode was very dense.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on. You know, there's a lot that they had to bring into it. But I agree with you. It suffered. I can't really, and maybe by the end of our podcast here, I'll kind of be able to tell you what it did suffer from.
Sure, sure. And but, you know what? You know me. I mean, I like to kind of look at the good parts of any episode of any show, you know, and I like to kind of find the entertaining parts of it because I'm pretty easy to please. If I'm having fun with it, I enjoy it. I don't mind a bit, and I feel that way with this one as well. But for a show that comes back after a 6-week hiatus, I'm used to kind of having a bit more action, you know, a little bit stronger ending that sets things up. You know, this was really kind of just wrapped a lot of things up in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, it had a nice little teaser for next week, but so, and I'm, it's not, you know, I'm not being overly critical or anything like that. I did enjoy it, but I was hoping for a little bit more. You know, and I'll also say now that we're kind of in the middle of it, Savitar, not my favorite villain of this series at all by any means. And he's not even really up there with the big bads that Flash has had to fight. I would really like to see them as they go forward in this show. I would really like to see them getting a little bit further away from time travel stuff. I feel like this is almost more of a time travel show now than a speedster show. And I think, I mean, I think they absolutely can and probably will, but there's a lot more opportunities for them to use just the idea of somebody that can run really fast and have threats against, you know, them for that, than just your past or future threatened in some way.
Right. And I agree with that. The you know, there's a lot of time travel in the Flash's DNA, especially within the last decade, let's say. They've used it a lot more. Also, for me, I think with this particular episode, the fact that it was really used as more of a, hey, here's what we've got coming up in the rest of the season. I know we don't have a great episode right now, but let us tell you, here's some of the characters and situations you're going to be seeing in the next few months. It was more like a preview of what's coming in the season than really an episode.
Yeah, and it set things up, though. It did set things up with not just the plot, but also with the characters, because I'm very glad they didn't stretch the you know, let's not tell Iris the whole truth and nothing but the truth for, I don't know, four or five different episodes. it just took a little while. Obviously, he'd been thinking about it off camera, but I'm glad that they just came out and told her, because I didn't want that to be a major thing, too. So anyway, you know, I kind of got that off my... You go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, they do have a major, you know, not telling somebody thing that I want to talk about once we get into the episode.
We can get to that. But either way, you know, I kind of got that stuff off my chest. That's my feelings right now. I was kind of hoping for something that would blow me away a little bit here right at the beginning, but I am certainly okay building up to that. So I guess we'll kind of find out how they're going to build that. I guess we kind of know. They kind of let us know this week how they're going to build up to that, didn't they?
Well, supposedly, right. And I have some higher hopes for stuff that's coming now because they've kind of teased what's coming.
Yeah.
I got some high hopes, so let's hope they deliver.
And even my daughters were more excited when they heard something about a gorilla than they were about anything that happened in this show. So
you could say they went ape.
They did. They did go a little bit ape. There's some pretty cool pieces of news that I want to get to before this. So let's kind of run down these a little bit. I'm going to ask you to fill in some details here for me. I'll announce them and you can kind of help me out here.
Yeah, 6 weeks worth of news here over the holidays. So a lot of stuff.
We had talked about, I guess, I want to say maybe somewhere around November, about the musical crossover episodes coming up with Supergirl.
Yeah. Yep.
And we got a little bit more information about that, including the I don't want to say unfortunate casting, but the disappointing casting. They didn't listen to our advice. I was a little sad they didn't listen to our advice.
They didn't listen to the advice. So the musical episode, which we knew was coming from the beginning of the season, they had kind of teased that they were going to do a musical crossover with Supergirl because there are so many actors on both The Flash and Supergirl that have backgrounds in singing and have been on Glee. So over the holiday, they revealed that the villain was going to will be, in fact, Music Meister, which is almost a no-brainer in a musical episode. That was also confirmed in this week's episode because they talked about the Music Meister. So, of course, we were speculating that, of course, it was basically Neil Patrick Harris or GTFO as far as the GTFO is a great – he's a foreign actor, but he's really good.
Was he in ABBA?
No, I think you're thinking of Bjorn.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. Something like that.
So, unfortunately, they wanted to go with someone a little bit younger than Neil. Completely understandable as far as the CW show. So they went with Glee alum Darren Criss. And as far as things go, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been so much worse.
I don't know that they went with someone younger so much as going with someone that had that Glee connection.
That is possible as well.
It just kind of fits. So it's, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. So, but we did find out that the musical episode is going to be, I believe it is the 17th episode of this season. So we're on 10 right now. 17th episode, it will be called Duet, musical episode, directed by Dermot Downes, and it will air March 21st after the Supergirl episode right before it. So probably the last 5 minutes of Supergirl will be the kickoff, and then we'll come over. But they said basically everybody that you expect to sing will sing. So Supergirl, Flash, Joe West, Cisco, and I think Iris sings a little bit as well.
Oh, HR? And
I don't know that.
I don't think they mentioned him.
he does play. That would be good. He could play the drums. And then, I guess the guy that plays Jimmy Olsen on Supergirl will be singing as well. Who did they say? Wynn and Mon-El, I guess, won't be singing. I think that was what they came down to.
They failed the audition, huh? They didn't.
Yeah. Well, you got to have some people to, you know, be the Greek chorus, I guess.
There you go.
Which is funny because they wouldn't actually sing. So I'm looking forward to that. That, that's my perverse sort of.
Fun. I think that'll be a fun episode. I'm okay with things like that every now and then on some shows. It works. Somebody else that seems to be, that is going to be returning to the Flash, something we've seen in the other seasons, was a Black Flash. And
AKA Hunter Zolomon.
Hunter Zolomon, yes. Zoom.
Who that is kind of turned into the Black Flash on its last appearance last season.
So that's what I'm wondering. Is it Black Flash like looking like those wraiths? Kind of that's how we left him.
Yeah, it's unclear, but they've talked about the fact that he's going to be coming back for multiple shows. Along, I would assume Legends of Tomorrow being the other one, because they're building up a Legion of Doom over there. Reverse Flash is on Legends this season and doing a great job over there. So it's good to see that. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do with this character.
Yeah. I really want to see it just visually. I want to see what he's going to look like. How is he going to be different from Zoom? Because that's a pretty freaky character as it was. So,
right. And it looked, he was pretty computer generated at the end of that episode. So, whether they make him look a little more like Zoom than the character they showed at the end, just to, you know, save on CGI and stuff like that, that'd be interesting.
That's a good point. So we'll see. Well, and they could do it. They could do it. They brought back Reverse Flash, but anyway, I'm anxious to see that too. Man, see, they got so many things that make me filled with anticipation for these things, just to see how they do it. And generally, they succeed in what I would expect on a TV show.
It's problematic because we're getting excited now for stuff that may not happen for like 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks here. But
that's okay. That's the fun part for me.
it's enjoyable, but it also gets a little wearisome, especially if they start teasing stuff too far out.
Ooh, that's true. That's true. Well, I won't worry about that right now. But something else was teased today. You just saw this, huh?
This was awesome. Yeah, Robbie Amell tweeted a photo of him earlier today as we're recording with Daniel Panabaker. Not sure what it means. It appears to mean that Firestorm, or at least his alter ego there, Ronnie Raymond, will be coming back to at least an episode of Flash later in the season. But who knows? It could be a flashback, could be a dream.
Time travel.
We really don't know. Yeah, there's nothing I have no indication based on any of the episodes that we've seen so far as to how that might possibly work.
Well,
I've got an indication, I guess. But
Well, speaking of wondering how things are going to work, there was an interesting tweet from Rick Cosnett the other day.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see this. I just happened to see this tweet right about the time it was put out there. Rick Cosnett, of course, played Eddie Thawne in season one of The Flash. And he sent a little tweet that said, okay, hate to tease ya. Yeah, he didn't really hate to tease us. I know he did. But now I can say it. I'm coming back to the on The Flash. What?
Time travel, man. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm curious to see that too. Now, I wouldn't expect him to be a regular on the series anymore. I mean, I don't think probably coming back for a long time. I don't know. He didn't say that. Is all that we know about that. But I'm excited. We probably talked about this the last two seasons every now and then, just thinking that he may make an appearance or. And he has, right? He was in the episode where Barry got to go back and have him record something for Iris, right?
Yeah.
A little farewell, not a farewell message because he didn't know, right? But just a thought to her, you know, how he was feeling or something. So,
right.
So he's been back in that way, but I'm wondering if this is going to be a little bit more important.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like he probably won't be appearing till close to the end of the season here.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it may be the last couple episodes of the season. So whatever it is, it'll be a cliffhanger, I'm guessing. That's
if it's toward the end of the season, then it probably will be important. So, well,
speaking of the end of the season,
yeah.
If it's a cliffhanger, that has to mean what?
That they want us to be nervous all summer. No.
Well, yeah.
That means they'll likely be back.
Yeah.
And we just found out for sure, right?
They got a super early renewal. A CW renewed The Flash plus all the other superhero shows that they do. In January, that's like almost unheard of.
Yeah. So not Arrow surprising will be back for CW, six. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess there's no problem with them making that early announcement. I guess they've got it all lined up. But so Supergirl will be back for third season. Flash will be back for the fourth season. Arrow will be back for the sixth season. Legend Tomorrow will be back for the
third season. Yeah.
And then, I think that's it. That's all four shows. Yep.
Well,
hopefully iZombie will be back too.
Yeah. Oh, my wife is, don't know about that. Really hoping iZombie will be back soon.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. I'm excited about that. I love seeing where they're taking these. It's great fun. We've had a wide variety among shows and even just different seasons of shows. So, I'm having a great time and I'm enjoying what the CW does. I think I watch the CW now more than any of the other major networks.
Yeah, except for sports or something like that. I'm probably watching CW the most now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, man, that was so much news that we need to get talking about this episode.
Yeah.
Like you said, there was a lot of meat to this episode, even if it wasn't what I was expecting. So it's going to set us on the road for the rest of the season because that's what they're doing. They're setting it up. That was what this was. But it was about time travel again. And that whole idea of, like you say here, fate versus free will. Can you change the future or is it set in stone?
I like that they, and the way HR puts it in this episode is he talks about when he's asked what his opinion is on time travel, he's like, well, you know, with my book, fans were. Some fans look at it as, sure, you can change stuff, and other fans look at it as like, no, you can't change stuff. And I found it really interesting that he couldn't even offer really his own opinion. It adds to the kind of the mystique of what's going on with HR, but that he actually is just offering the fan opinion of it. But it's those discussions that, you know, fans have been having since, you know, the time machine or something like that. It's like, if the future is, you know, if you know your future, is it possible for you to avoid it? And that's, you know, a central tenet of kind of the philosophy of time travel and time travel movies that have, you know, been going on here for the last 30 or 40 years.
Well, sure. Well, and that's...
And the Flash will have to answer it as best he can.
Well, and that's that philosophical question, you know, and there's been a lot of time travel movies that have discussed that specifically, that if you know what's going to happen, does, you know, anything you do to prevent it, is that actually what's causing what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to this episode, maybe not.
Yeah, so this episode is, it's pointing out, or it's making it seem like this is absolutely going to happen, except if you can do certain things and alter enough of the little things in the way to the big thing that you can actually change that big thing. But it's going to take a lot of little things to change it, I think.
That was a perfect time travel explanation that you just gave there. That fit in everything. It's always complicated. Hey, but let me offer not an explanation, but a logical reason why this is not completely out of the realm of possibility. Because
dominoes?
Yeah, let me get out the dominoes. Can you set these up for me? Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, Barry was flung into a future. That's what I'm going to say, a future. Okay? Yeah,
and that's what they've said. It's been said that it's a possible future. Yes.
Yeah, and it was through a breach, a wormhole, whatever you want to call it, through the Speed Force. He doesn't even really know how it happened. He even said, accidentally... Got flung into the future, right?
I tripped, and I was in the future.
So then he sees this. But let me say it like this. He sees a potential future. Now, when he went backwards in Flashpoint, things he did changed his present, right? But what would have been the future back then? So things that he did in the past changed where he is right now. So why wouldn't things that he did now be able to change it? If this is, you know, you get these alternate timelines, these alternate skews in the timelines, like they kind of described with that Back to the Future, you know, tangent that goes off the timeline, right? Why wouldn't you be able to go back in time and get on one of those tangents where Iris doesn't die? Why wouldn't you be able to do that?
Dude, everything, you just ruined the rest of the season for me.
No. Hey, that doesn't mean they're going to be able to.
Iris is not going to die?
Actually, I don't know that. I don't know that. I mean, there's a potential that they might not. But there, everything that this series has said, everything that it has shown, and Barry should know this too, has shown that you can change the future. Now, should you change the future? That's a completely different question. I don't think that Jay... Not you, Jay, but Garrick, would necessarily disagree with what they're doing right here, is trying to potentially, you know,
go on a
different
path. Wait, you think Jay Garrick would not disagree?
I don't think he would disagree. He has very strong feelings about going back into the past, right, okay, and changing things to try to fix them.
Right. But they're not in the past now.
Right.
It's their it's the time that they're living through, so...
That's why I don't think he would... I think he'd go along with them here.
Oh, okay. I guess. Sorry. Like too many double negatives in there, man.
I don't think that he would not maybe truly to disagree with them agreeing.
Right. I should have said it more clearly.
Hey, this all comes off the top of my head. You know, sometimes it doesn't come out clearly, you know, especially with time travel. So, but anyway, that's kind of my feeling with this fate versus free will thing. Everything that we've seen with time travel points to the fact that he can change the future.
Okay, right. So that's clear for me. And I agree with you. I think with the model of time travel that they have set up here on the show, I think they're trying to be consistent with it. And like you said, they've shown that it can be changed. My bigger question is, why the freak aren't they telling Joe? That seems like the worst possible thing. Now, actually, it seems like a bad idea to tell him, too. For reasons they pointed out in the episode, but not telling him, I think, is going to... I haven't figured out exactly what the worst part of it is, But I just know that keeping stuff from Joe is not a good idea.
It's
a conundrum. I don't know.
I don't have an answer for you because I don't know what I would do either. I mean, on the one hand, I wouldn't want to tell Joe. Now look at it from their point of view. If we succeed in this and we end up saving her and she doesn't die near the end
of the
season.
Joe will never
know. Or, you know, in May. Joe will never know. And right. We're fine. We don't necessarily need his help on this. I think we could do this without him. We don't know what he could do anyway. So why
Dad,
tell
did we
him?
Ever tell you about the time when Iris died, but we didn't tell you, and we changed time, and she's still alive?
Hey, Pop, remember that Christmas when I saw your daughter die? Yeah. No, you don't remember that? Oh, it was funny. Let me tell you the story. No, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, I see your point. Because if he finds out, it's going to cause problems.
Yeah.
If he doesn't find out, no big deal. So it's more like real life. But in TV world, when you don't tell somebody something or when you lie to them about something, that's the end of the freaking world, man. Let me tell you. They have a hard time getting over that.
Well, and the other thing that they really were pushing with this episode about the future and about traveling into the future and not like time traveling, but, you know, just moving forward with your life, which I thought was a really interesting element, was that you shouldn't have to do it alone. And that was what a lot of characters were learning, you know, in the very special episode of The Flash this week. Caitlin and Barry and Iris learned that they don't have to do things alone. And I think Julian learned it. But then everybody is not, you know, everybody's together. They're all doing stuff together. And again, they're leaving Joe out. Joe!
Yeah. Well, so. He shows up around Star Labs enough to, you know, pick up on things if they're not going to tell him. So why even bring it up if it's not going to cause a problem later on in the season? And, you know, there's your plot point for that week.
And he can be hot-headed. I mean, I know exactly what they're talking about and stuff, but.
Yeah. Well, now what do you think he would do if they did tell him? What do you think he would do?
He would try to do whatever he could to protect his daughter.
Of course, right?
Like she couldn't go out or, you know, and of course, inevitably, it would lead to her getting killed.
So. Right, right. And so your argument to him would be, no, look, if whatever you do could actually make it happen. And like you said, Joe is hot-headed, but, he's also intelligent. So I don't know. Working with him is probably the best choice, but – right now, they've decided to keep him in the dark. Oh. All right. Well, he's got his own problems dealing with Detective Grunberg or whatever his name is.
Patterson. Yeah,
Patterson, that was. Yeah,
he was what that. I found that kind of weird because it was like the setup. He was in the opening, and then there was the scene during the credits, and then that was the last we heard about this guy. And I'm like, wait, he's a regular on here again, isn't he? Greg Grunberg, meaning, because I remember him showing up before the break, but.
Yeah, he's going to be on a few episodes, and obviously he'll be causing problems because of his attitude, you know, but towards metahumans, but. And, oh, geez. Anyway, we'll get back to him. He wasn't a big enough part of this episode this week to take our time with, but. All right, so moving on from time travel, I want to talk a little bit about Caitlin, because she's having some issues. And I'm a little worried about her myself, actually. Bracelets that she's wearing. They call them the dampening cuffs? Is that what?
Yeah, I think that's they were calling them cuffs, but yeah, I think they're like the dampening cuff that Snitsko had designed before the break.
They really, really are keeping her powers at bay, aren't they? I mean, the battery ran out.
Yeah, it's almost immediate.
Yeah, I was really shocked. So now I am really kind of worried about her because. If that's all that's keeping her from turning into Killer Frost, then there's a lot of dangers that she's going to have to worry about.
Right. And as we found out from the future, Killer Frost actually exists in the future and is on the loose. So,
they haven't even caught her in May, huh?
Yeah, they haven't even caught her at that point. So sometime between now and then... she turns. So she's, you know, like I'm still kind of unclear on like Julian, like why she thinks he can help. I mean, he's a authority on metahumans, but he's more of a archaeologist, I recall, but I'm trying
he's
to
done a lot of, he's done a lot of research on it, I think, is her reasoning. But what I'm thinking with her, she's so desperate to get rid of these powers, which I can understand. And I suppose as a scientist, that is probably what you would try to do, try to cure this, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. As a scientist who reads comic books or hangs around superheroes a lot, you ought to have kind of a backup plan. And I think not instead of, but in addition to trying to figure out how to get rid of these powers, they ought to be trying to figure out how she can be in control of them, how she can keep them at bay herself. Because if anything should happen to these things that dampen her powers, then she's in trouble. And it would be nice for her to be able to do it on her own. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as bringing Julian in, it feels like she's desperate. Nobody that she knows or has these connections to has been able to even make a half an inch of headway on this issue of hers. Not even somebody that she doesn't like to hang around, which is her mother, who is kind of an authority on certain things like this.
Yeah. Well, what I'm interested about the powers is that up to, you know, to date, we've never seen anyone else who got powers. You know, it hasn't necessarily affected their personality. I mean, the bad guys we've seen are just, you know, I think they just want to use their powers to, you know, for personal gain and stuff. I don't think it's necessarily affected their psyche. I mean, Barry obviously is not affected by his powers in a way that changes his personality. Yeah.
Right.
So what is it about her particular powers that causes her to, or is it just her an irrational fear of losing control? I mean, it's obviously a metaphor for, you know, the powers that she's getting for, you know, her losing control of, you know, some aspect of her life. But, the fact that it would make her, you know, go angry and, you know, maybe again with the metaphor context, you know, it's
kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's, and because it's a cold power, you know, it makes her distant. And, you know, you talk about people and their heart is frozen, you know, they're not kind and stuff. So maybe it's just sort of building on that.
I'm telling you, Frozone was a good guy. He was good friends with Mr. Incredible. He had a loving wife. They argued sometimes, but he was a good guy.
That is my super suit.
So, see, yeah. It doesn't have to be bad. But I had a couple thoughts about that, about why she might be bad. One, like you said, was kind of that irrational fear. And I think maybe that the powers, right, the metahuman stuff that's inside of her enhances that fear a bit. To almost an irrational fear. You know how, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you're really panicky or really upset about something, how it's so much worse. It like intensifies exponentially. You know, you just get super frustrated or when you're really tired or, you know, things like that. So that was one thing. The other, on top of that, is the fear that she has seen her doppelganger on Earth 2 and what she was like. But the other thing I think is kind of deep down inside of her somewhere is because of something in her past. And we know that she's had this strained relationship with her mother. And there's potentially some other stuff going on there, too. We found out about, like, her doppelganger, right? She'd had a brother or something that had died. Did we ever find out about Earth 1 Caitlin's?
No, we haven't found out if Earth 1 Caitlin had a brother.
I didn't think so. So
she's lost two fiancés or you know, lovers, I guess. So
and so there's that emotional you know, damage
component.
That she's had in her life. So I think combinations of all that stuff is kind of done. I don't think it's just the metahuman power. So okay. And who knows? Maybe the metahuman powers do enhance some of those things in some of those criminals and villains that we've seen. And maybe even in Barry, it enhanced his heroic attitude of wanting to help people.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, that's possible. I was thinking that a little bit as you were talking. So they ask Julian to join the team, and or she does, and then you know he comes and says, "Yeah, I want to join," but you know then Barry has to kind of like okay it, I guess here, but. It didn't sound like they were going to accept Julian until they found out what was going on, and after Sisko and Barry vibed Back to the Future here. So my question about this is that kind of on what pretense was he accepted into the team? Was it really on his merits or just the fact that he can help change the future, and then are they going to kind of get rid of him? Is it like... I don't know. And then they find out there's a problem. It's like, okay, well, fine. We got to take you because you can help, because we need to change this future. It seemed like they wanted to take him. They didn't want to take him. And then, you know, we're kind of forced into it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a big part of it. But I also think that in those last few episodes before the break, you know, they saw really what kind of a person he is, and even though he's angry and bitter and not very likable and snarky and rude and kind of mean, a little bit of a bully, harassing people. Wow, he really doesn't have that many good traits, does he? But I think they know that you know he's an honorable person. I don't know, would that be honorable? Maybe that's not the right word. I don't know. He's a good man that wants to do the right thing. He just doesn't always.
Because he's worried about what his alter ego had done and stuff like that, or at least says that he is. But I seem to believe him.
Yeah, me too.
That he didn't, you know, because he was in control and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and so do they. And I think that they've had that experience personally, a lot of them. And Caitlin was the perfect one to go to for him to kind of convince him to come, because she had that same experience basically, right? Where when she turned into Killer Frost and she was doing things that she kidnapped him and almost killed people. And so she was a good one to go to, him to get him to join the team. I thought nobody else is going to do it anyway. They don't like him.
Yeah. Maybe, they're going to become an item and then he's going to die. And that's what sends her over the edge.
I hope not. But I do think that he is going to be the key in the end. I'll speculate right now. This is really not that wild of a speculation, but I think that Julian is going to be the key to stopping Savitar, maybe finding some connection through what they have, you know, what he's done for him in the past. So finding some way to track him or something like that, or his knowledge of the Sorcerer's Stone. And ultimately, though, by the end of the season, I think Julian will be sacrificing himself and will not make it past this season.
That's the Philosopher's Stone, by the way.
What did I say? Sorcerer's Stone?
Yeah, you American.
I crossed my Harry Potter references there. Sorry about that.
Yep. So, yeah, I agree. I don't think that's much of a stretch as far as a possible future for him.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I did have a couple questions about this vibing to the future, vibe to the future, which is the fourth movie, I think.
Yeah.
With Michael J. Fox. so they go into. I always wonder about some of these vibes. Is it going into Barry's memories? Are they actually going into this future that he saw? Are they going there via his, you know, Barry's connection through his mind? I always wonder about that. But
those are all good questions, Josh.
But as they go in, you know, they kind of do a little virtual reality peek around, you know, like they got the goggles on. They're doing the 360 thing. They look at the bus kiosk and it's got the news scroll on it. And we'll talk about some of those news stories here in just a sec.
Grabbing all the headlines they can take.
That's right. Looking for clues, which I think actually is kind of a cool way to do this. It would be a extremely painful one for Barry and Sisko, I suppose, but to go back there and you know, look for clues like that and then see Iris.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that. Like, Barry is like, all right, we're going to go back. And Sisko obviously did not realize, like, how traumatic that was. So it'll be interesting to see if they have to vibe forward to it again. And it's no wonder Barry's been having nightmares for this. I mean, that's – it's got to be horrendous.
Well, I mean, and to me, I mean, as horrendous as it would be,
I would think you'd want to go back more than once so you could kind of look at every little detail, because you're going to look at one thing at a time while you're there. So, and they did catch something while they were there. They saw that HR is up on the roof.
Yeah.
He's got this gun that they got from the villain from Plunder. This week, Plunder.
Yeah.
Was he there before and Barry just didn't see him? Because to me, that makes a lot of sense. You know, Barry goes there for the first time. He sees Iris almost dying. Then he sees her die. He's not going to be looking at anything else.
Right. Well, we didn't see him before. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, Barry was, they were pretty adamant that he did not exist before in that moment. And so that, you know, basically they're setting it up that, well, just me telling HR about this has changed it. So going back to your speculation, I think they're actually, you know, opening a portal back into the future and being, you know, like ghosts that are able to visit the future, because what they are seeing is the revised future. It's not exactly what Barry saw. It's a slightly different version with HR in it now. And I think, like you said, they're going to have to kind of keep going back, because they're going to, you know, something's going to happen and they're going to go, oh yeah, that was in the future. Let's go back. And we're going to come back to this moment and we're going to see that the, you know, the newsreel has changed, or the news scroll has changed again. Something else is going to be different. And that's how Barry knows that he's making headway.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. Now, I do want to point out that gun that HR had, because they got it from Plunder, who really doesn't warrant too much of a mention here by us.
yeah.
Didn't do much. I mean, no, had a few robberies. They had little trouble with him because he was distracted. They caught him pretty easily. But I want to talk about this gun.
Okay.
They mentioned how incredibly advanced this gun was, and it was almost a futuristic kind of technology.
Yeah, like it was from the future.
Almost like it was. So I think we may not be done with Plunder. He may not just be important for that scroll. I mean, maybe that was just one of the reasons he was there. But where did he get this gun? This seems like it means something more than just, hey, look, we got this weapon that we can use potentially against Savitar or something.
Yeah.
So I don't have any clues on that. I just wanted to kind of put it out there to stick on the board to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Well, and as innocuous as this villain appears to be, and I've seen a number of people point out, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this villain was completely unforgettable or completely forgettable. But you're right that there's a lot more that can be said about that. And,
I mean, they didn't use him much in this one, but that doesn't mean they can't come back to him and, do something. And, you know, sure, Kid Flash has now caught him, changed the headlines, but, what's to say he's not going to get out again between now and May? So there's that potential. You know, they've got plenty of other villains.
They caught him. Kid Flash caught him on the heist from the museum, which is what the museum heist was. What Barry had caught him in the original news headline. So,
true. No,
granted, you're right. It could happen again. Like he could break out again, and they could catch him again at a museum or something like that. But, you know, what they're trying to show is that, yes, you know, they can be changing stuff.
Who breaks out of jail and goes immediately to steal something else?
This guy's not the sharpest tack in the box.
No, he's not.
So he does. I mean, but like you said, the gun is pretty cool. It's kind of like laser blast. Maybe he doesn't know what it is, and he just found this alien gun, and it's changing him somewhere.
It could be, or somebody gave it to him. Maybe Savitar gave it to him.
So. Yeah.
Let's quickly talk about these headlines real quick here before we run out of time. We won't, you know, get into them too much because they're obviously going to be show plots as we move forward here. But let's just kind of run down what they were, because they went pretty fast. I had to watch it a few times to get them all written down. So Music Meister gets six-figure book deal. So it sounds like Music Meister is going to be in an episode.
Yeah,
I think I heard that on a podcast somewhere. So we talked about that. Then Luigi's opens after murder.
Bring, bring, it's-a me, Mario.
Wait, is Mario the one that got murdered?
I think so.
Oh, Jesus. Bowser, you know, came in and just smashed a big mushroom on him, on his head in the middle of a restaurant. Who's Luigi? Do we know Luigi?
I do not know. I don't. That didn't ring a bell in anything previously.
I've heard.
I'm guessing it's an Italian restaurant.
Thank you. I've heard that this has some potential connection to. Oh goodness sakes! He was on Arrow earlier this season. He impersonates people.
Oh, Human Target?
Yes, that there's some connection to him. I'll have to look into that a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Not sure about that one. So, Joe West honored at City Hall. That's probably for singing. got an award for singing.
It's definitely not for his detective skills. Is that what you're saying?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. So that we'll see where that's kind of interesting. Maybe he does something good, save somebody.
These are things that change, right?
Oh, that could be.
Right, because like, why would the Music Meister get a six-figure book deal? That seems kind of weird if he's done something bad, you know. But who knows?
Yeah, you'd think he'd get a record deal. So, the headline's going to change, and there'll be a picture of Joe West in like a straitjacket on the news scroll, in Back to the Future. All right, then this big one we talked about, Caitlin, Killer Frost still at large. Okay.
Yeah.
At large is the restaurant next to Luigi's, I think. So she's just having lunch there.
Large.
Oh, Large. We just read it wrong.
It's a French restaurant, right.
All right. Star Labs Museum closes. Oh, come on.
It just opened. But again, you know, nobody was really interested in doing anything for this. But now that they know they have to change the future and they saw that happened, everybody's really like, you know, Cisco's all right. Everybody's pitching in, right?
So you think Cisco's ulterior motive there for helping out with the museum was because of the headline and not because he's starting to make a connection to HR? Or maybe a little of both.
Probably a little of both.
Okay,
yeah.
A little of both. They do. But seem
also
to be
because
closer.
he didn't like the way HR had programmed his his hologram.
His hologram where he talked about science.
That one.
Okay. And then the one that made my girls squeal with joy, city still recovering following gorilla attack.
Not G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, right?
No, Gorilla.
Gorilla.
Yeah, Megilla, I think was his name.
Great babe. I've heard that's coming. I'm guessing in about 3 or 4 episodes from now.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. I think I might have squealed with delight a little bit when I heard about that one too. I'm excited about Grodd. I really like Grodd. I think they did that so well that I can't wait to see him come back. So,
yeah.
All right. So those are the headlines. Like I said, we're gonna be seeing those, I'm sure, on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and then we had someone pop up at the very end of the episode too.
Yes, we did.
Actually. Both Flash and Arrow did this week. They introduced this new character several new characters. But on Flash, they introduced this new character kind of right at the end of the episode came out of a portal, right? What are we calling those? Breach. She popped out of this breach into an alley and seemed to have a hologram small image of HR. So,
so
not going to spoil it for, it could be, oh gosh, yikes. I won't spoil it for anyone, who wants to find out, but you know, if you look at an upcoming, press release for one of the episodes, it'll tell you exactly who she is, why she's there and what's going on. So,
yeah,
but, a cool new character, related to Cisco in some fashion. And that's where I'll leave it for now, and we'll give you a little more information on her next appearance.
All right. Well, a little bit of feedback that I wanted to share before we get to some references and wrap it up here. Indiana Johns, wonder if there's any relation there, says, introducing a loft may be the harbinger of doom.
ooh, yes. this caught my eye. So I wanted, would you like to know more? So I read more. So Arrow's epic decline, which some people thought Arrow really went downhill. I think you and I were one of those people, or two of those people. It started to decline in 3B, which I'm guessing he's saying episode or season 3.
Or second half.
And yeah, second half of season 3, right? And yep. He's wondering, is history repeating? Oh, I didn't realize that's where they introduced the loft in Arrow.
They didn't necessarily, but because I think we'd seen that quite a bit through the other seasons. But I think he's just pointing out that now there's a loft on Flash, and Arrow's decline started in the second half of season 3.
I think it's loft where related. That's what I'm saying. That's what...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe. I
will say when they introduced that last episode, I was like, oh, my God, did he just buy Oliver's apartment? It struck me very similar. So I don't know. It's Indiana. Just, that's a very interesting observation.
He was just inspired by Oliver's design skills. That's why. So he got something similar. So. All right. Well, said Derek on Facebook said a not necessarily a complaint, but this has to be the lightest villain plot this series has ever done. So while I might agree, like I said, there is potential to go further with him. He was barely in it and got zero development of the character, but can't wait for the guerrilla war. Where the attacking guerrilla army is oddly off screen all the time. Hey, you know what? You got to do what you can do with the budget, right?
Oh, I hear them. They're over there somewhere. Run so, that way.
So thank you guys for that feedback. We appreciate it. We love hearing from everybody. So let us know your thoughts, whether they're serious, sarcastic, silly, or you just want to disagree with me. I always appreciate that too. Don't worry. So we had some references this week, right?
Few references. The warehouse fire at the beginning was at a place called Trader Sam's. I don't know if this is intended, but that to me is a Disneyland reference for all those Disney fans who love the Jungle Cruise. Trader Sam is, of course, the headhunter at the end who will trade you two of his heads for one of yours. Sisko mentions to Caitlin that she needs to charge her cuffs or go all Frozone on us, as you mentioned earlier, Frozone from the Incredibles film. HR was channeling his inner Tony the Tiger for a moment when he said, "It's great." Sisko's hologram sounded to me a little bit like Max Headroom, which was an old show from the 80s about a hologram that kind of just skipped as it talked. Interestingly enough, even though HR is from a different Earth, his novel, The Future Ain't What It Used to Be, won a Nebula Award. And a Nebula Award, as people probably know, is a science fiction fantasy writer's award that is, you know, used here in the United States. So that's if you win an award for your science fiction or fantasy book here in the United States, you get a Nebula Award. So
oh, there you go. See, hey, they got stuff over on Earth 19 like us, too. Just not coffee. That's all.
Just not coffee. Sisko calls Barry McFly when he was vibing him to the future. And then I thought it was kind of funny that HR gave Barry a turtle, you know, because obviously they're slow. So
I wonder what that makes a speedster feel like watching a turtle. If it's just frustrating or if it's relaxing. I don't know.
I turtles have never done much for me. You know, I don't know why people have them as pets.
All right. Well, man alive. I tell you what, even just talking to you about this little bit slower episode has gotten me more excited about the season because of all the great stuff that we know is coming up. Next week, I think we're going to find a little bit more about what HR has been up to, and maybe that'll set that character up for his eventual destiny at the end of the season. I wonder if he's going the way of Julian or if we're going to have to get another Harry replacement here or something, but we'll find out. I'll go with Cowboy Harry next season, maybe. But
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, that is it for this week. You and I, we have to run.
Well, thanks for talking to me about this again, Josh, and thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. We do enjoy reading that. You can also contact us. Email is a really good way to do it if you have that available, at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. You could tweet to us like Indiana Johns did at Scarlet Velocity and visit our Facebook page and take part of the conversation over there at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
You can also check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Those are both at randomchatter.com, just like Scarlet Velocity. And all of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about it. We love sharing it with everybody and building up a group of people to discuss this stuff with because it's so much fun. So you guys take care. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop around and look once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.